Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Jenna Flanagan, filling in for Allison Stewart. After coming across a bronze memorial plaque in a Hoboken church, author Holly Metz began a search for the life story of the enslaved man mentioned there, Peter Lee. In Holly Metz's new book, The Untold Life of Peter Lee, she details the life and legacy of a man who lived to the age of 98 and worked all his life as a butler for the wealthy and influential Stevens family. Poring over thousands of deeds, pages, letters, farm books, newspaper articles, and ledgers, Metz uncovered Lee's ancestry, his mother's fate, his father's service in the War of 1812, and Peter's residence near the home of a pioneering female journalist who hosted abolitionist Frederick Douglass during his many visits to Hoboken. At the same time, she uncovered the Stevens family's deep ties to the slave trade in New Jersey. Holly Metz, welcome to All of It.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So first, I just want to start with the very notion of the New Jersey slave trade. This feels so much like, in the American consciousness, this feels very much like something that happened in the South. This was a Southern problem. And your book helps illustrate that, no, this was nationwide.
Yes. And I'll say that I also was ignorant of this when I was in high school. I was taught that basically the North was the free states, mm-hmm. and the South was the slave states, you know, mostly centered around the Civil War. But all the colonies accepted slavery, mm-hmm. all 13 colonies. New York had the highest percentage of slaves, followed by New Jersey.
Interesting. So then, in addition to that, if New Jersey was always a slaveholding state, do we know when it is that they finally got around to abolishing it?
1865.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Because neighboring New York, so to speak, had its manumission law for 1799, give or take,
right.
30 years.
Well, I should amend that. I mean, there was a gradual abolition law, and mm-hmm. that's important. It was 1804, and that's important because Peter Lee kind of got ensnared in that in terms of when his date of birth was.
Yeah.
So, and we could talk about that a little bit more.
Okay.
But 1865, there were 18 enslaved people on record in New Jersey. So there are still people being held captive when there was national emancipation.
All right. Well, we will try to circle back to that. But first, I want you to take me back to when you first came across this plaque. How did you discover it? What did it say?
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone bring it to your attention, or did you just happen to stumble across it?
I think some people had talked about it, and I'd known about Peter Lee a little bit. But there was something about the shock of seeing this bronze plaque. It was meant to be a memorial for him. It says, in affectionate memory of Peter Lee, 1804 to 1902. Most of the memorial is not to him. It lauds the accomplishments of two patriarchs of the Stevens family. And there's this little teeny bit about Peter Lee being enslaved, and also they talk about him being emancipated and that he worked for the family thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about the fact that it didn't even say what he did for them. It didn't talk about his life. That just had me, I was just so angry that this plaque was used basically to hold up members of the Stevens family. And then this sort of little, I don't know what you'd call, aside.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, about Peter Lee. So I had to find out. I just couldn't. This happens to me sometimes when there's questions that are so big, I just like, I'm going to find out. Who's Peter Lee?
I was going to say that's the foundations of journalism.
Yes.
So how did you, because this is the other thing then, that I think particularly a lot of African Americans who, like myself, who have tried to uncover our family history, there's just roadblocks where you simply, I mean, it was intentional. You can't find out anything beyond a certain point. How were you able to uncover so much about his life?
Well, I think I was persistent and lucky, but a lot of the story is me not finding things. I mean, when I call it the untold life, mm-hmm. a lot of his life is still not told. I could not find documentation. And sometimes the documentation would be contradictory. So you would say something like, something that the Stevens family remembered, they claimed that they remembered about Peter Lee, and then it would be contradicted by something else that I found. In the beginning of each chapter, I used to call them the lies, but they're all these things, these little epigraphs that have questionable statements. And so each chapter, you know, a lot of times people go pass them over, but if you go back and you see them, they have some kind of lie embedded in them.
I'm Jenna Flanagan, filling in for Allison Stewart, and I'm speaking with Holly Metz about her new book, The Untold Life of Peter Lee. That's very interesting that you say that, you know, you wanted to start each chapter sort of highlighting the lies, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering again, circa now, before we get into Peter Lee's life, what was the reaction when you told other Hoboken-ers?
Yeah.
but about the fact that this man not only lived in their city, but was held in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction?
Well, sometimes people, they sort of this, like their head goes back. They're kind of like, what? Because they don't believe that New Jersey had any enslaved people. And then when I say, well, you know, if you go up on the hill where Stevens Institute of Technology is, you can walk where he walked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that land has been not been developed. So they're a little bit astonished. I think people start to make up stories in their head when they hear stories about the enslavement of other human beings, whatever their defense mechanism is, whatever their family background is. So it becomes a very hard conversation in some ways because you're fighting against that. You're just trying to tell them about this person.
And well, in some ways, sometimes people think, well, perhaps it wasn't as harsh as it was in the South.
That's what I meant. It's exactly. And one of the things that was especially horrible for enslaved people in the North is they would be separated from their families right away. Maybe one or two people would move to a household. So that meant you were cut off from your family entirely. You were cut off, and you would probably never see them again. So when there's this comparison between North and South, okay, you might have a whole family living together in harsh situation, but they had each other to build resilience. But if you are separated from everything you know and your own language and your own people, you know, that's a hard life.
Of course. And I'm also wondering, when it comes to the slave trade in New Jersey, do we have an understanding of how much of the economy that was? Because when you dig into, unfortunately, so much of some of the other states, that was the economy. That's what was holding the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, while reprehensible from a financial standpoint, you can see why people got
beneficial.
Upset when there was, you know, talk of, well, you can't take them to the new states.
Right. I would say this about Bergen County. Hoboken was split off into Hudson County in the 1840s. But prior to that, it was Bergen County. And that had the most enslaved people in New Jersey and used for industry, used for, you know, working the land. Highest proportion of people who were enslaved were in that part of New Jersey.
I want to turn now to what you were able to uncover about mm-hmm. Peter Lee's life. Beginning with, I guess, the beginning, do we know if he was born a free man or was he born into slavery?
Okay, he should have been a free man. And this is one of the things I discovered that was really horrible. I didn't know the name of his mother until I read this document. An unknown Stevens family member writes this document that's in one of the archives and says that he doesn't understand why Sylvia, Peter's mother, and Nancy, his maternal grandmother, were not liberated by the Stevens family member's will that was supposed to liberate them. That Colonel John, who's the person who founded Hoboken, took care of them their whole lives. But that would have been 1800, and he was supposed to fulfill that will, which means that Peter Lee, if he was born in 1804, would have been born a free person. Because everything went through the mother's line. It didn't matter what his father's predicament was.
Okay, but then this takes me back to some of the legal language that perhaps would have made things murky. Through your book, I discovered that one thing in 1846, albeit several years later, that New Jersey had passed an act to abolish slavery.
Right.
Did that actually emancipate anybody?
It did, but it did not emancipate Peter Lee.
Peter Lee,
according to the Stevens family and their records, he was not emancipated until 1865.
Okay. Also, through your book, I discovered that in 1788, New Jersey had a law that required enslaved people to receive reading instruction by age 21.
Yes.
Was that ever enforced?
It was enforced for some people, but it wasn't for Peter Lee. Now, here's the thing. When you look at the census records, it changes like every 10 years whether he could read and write. Sometimes they said, and they had the date of his birth changed. So these are things that were not known to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I have no evidence that he received any reading instruction at all, and that he was taught to write. Now, those two things were separated. During that time period, many enslaved people were not taught how to write, because then they could write their own passes and they could escape.
Which was the logic that other people used.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but I have no evidence of it. That's the problem. I have no writings by Peter Lee. There's a photograph of him, and there's a stack of books next to him, but that doesn't mean that he could read. I mean, that's just a prop.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing else to identify whether he could or not.
But so what did you sort of learn about the way that enslaved people were talked about or written about while you were researching and writing this book? Because here we have these legal, you know, laws, what have you, that are supposed to say, well, you know, this is supposed to happen by 1846 or in 1788, you know, people should at least be able to read and write.
Right.
Yet it doesn't seem like there was any clear enforcement if Peter Lee was still held in bondage to the Civil War.
That's right. And that's the very thing, that the enforcement was so weak. I mean, Colonel John must have known that no one was going to take him to task. He did it. A lot of other people did it as well, but that doesn't, you know, excuse what he did. He stole this man's life.
Well, what we do know is that even after he got his freedom, and I'm kind of using air quotes here, that he did remain with the Stevens family. Do we know why he stayed with them?
No, but he was quite old at that point. That's all he knew. I mean, I think in some ways, he probably, if you thought about it, would he find work with another wealthy family at that age? Probably not. Who would recommend him? How would he leave Hoboken? I mean, this was, you know, he was married. So I think he just decided that's his lot in life.
Well, very quickly, were you able to find out if Peter Lee had any family or children of his own?
He did not have any children of his own, but he had a brother. I'm really holding out hope that the descendants of Henry, his brother, and Betsy, his brother, sister-in-law, have people living that I can find. I tried to find them, and so far, no luck. But I would very much like to do that and
of
hand
course.
Them a book.
Before I let you go, I do want to just sort of talk a little bit about the Stevens family. Were you able to find out how much the slave trade factored into their wealth and their lives in New Jersey?
I found it. Now, here's another thing about records. I found it for John II, who's Colonel John's father, who everyone called Honorable John. But he was the slave trader, so quite dishonorable. But he made a lot of money. He made a lot of money in the slave trade. John Stevens, fewer records, harder to add that up. But this family did not lose money. Let's put it that way.
Of course. And aside from Stevens Institute, is there anything else that adds to their legacy in New Jersey?
To the Stevens family?
Yeah.
Well, they initiated the ferries. I mean, it's not owned by the Stevens family anymore. They sold plots off bit by bit, so there's very little Stevens family presence in Hoboken.
How important were they to the development of New Jersey society?
Well, they were certainly hugely important in terms of the development of Hoboken, which was a transportation hub. They really put Hoboken on the map.
All right. And finally, what do you want readers to take away from your book?
That there was slavery in the North and they should read about it.
All right. I want to thank you so much for joining me. Holly Metz is the author of the book, The Untold Life of Peter Lee. Holly, thank you so much for joining us on All of It. I'm Jenna Flanagan, filling in for Allison Stewart. We'll be right back after the news.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.